The Federal Reserve estimated in 2016 Wisconsin had a gross domestic product of $309 billion. Our guest today, Mark Hogan, CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, was just a key negotiator of a package that would give Foxconn $3 billion, or 1% potentially of our gross domestic product, although over 15 years, an incentive package. Mark, thanks for coming back to Wisconsin Eye.
Great to be here, Steve. Thank you.
Talk about the scope of this. Your career was in banking.
Yes.
Biggest deal you've ever negotiated. Talk about what is it like to negotiate what's been called the largest incentive package for a private corporation in the nation's history, not just Wisconsin.
Well, it was mind-boggling at times, surreal at other times, but at the end of the day, it really came down to basics. Two things. One is, first of all, we had a great team. Scott Neitzel, Secretary of Department of Administration, and I really led the team. But there's a whole group of people from a legal standpoint, administrative standpoint, that supported our efforts throughout it, not to mention the legislators and the importance of that. But it really comes down to getting down to basics. Early on in the conversation, we made it clear, as did the company, what the key points were for each of us. And as we went through those discussions, you always had to come back to that and say, this is what we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. This is what we told the legislators. This is what the governor had said we were going to do. And in the end, we were able to accomplish, by and large, most, if not all, of those goals for both sides, not just for WEDC, State of Wisconsin, but also for Foxconn.
It's November 27th, 2017. When was the first time you heard Foxconn has an interest in Wisconsin? How many months ago? Do you remember?
I do. I do, because it was a call on April 26th that we received from the White House asking for the governor to be out in D.C. On either that Thursday or Friday, which would have been the 27th or 28th. He and I, along with his chief of staff, Rich Zipper, went out on Friday, met with Terry Goh, the chairman at that time, to meet with them and started the conversation, and that was the first time. So it was about 28 weeks from the time that we had the original meeting on April 28th to the day that we signed the contract down in Racine.
Why did Foxconn pick Wisconsin? Because they could have gone anywhere.
I think there are several reasons for that, and many of them are what we talk about, being the strengths of the state. But really, at the end of the day, it started at the top. Terry Goh and Governor Walker hit it off. The governor had met, flew to Japan in early June to meet with Terry and his team. That meeting went very well over the course of a weekend. And from there, it was really up to the rest of us. And the rest of us have developed very good relationships with the Foxconn team in the state of Wisconsin. So I think it's about the relationship side of it. But I think the fact that we brought the industries, the academic partners in early on, they saw that what was important to them was workforce. We were able to convince them that we had the workforce, we had the capacity and the capabilities to be able to make sure that they had the talent, not just for those people, not just for Foxconn, but for other employers in the state of Wisconsin. Because taking employees from one company and moving to them to another, it's a zero-sum game, and it's not really in the benefit of the state.
Well, you just mentioned something I'd hope to ask later, but are you confident that Wisconsin can come up with a talent pool, could come up with the qualified employees? Because we're talking here, potentially, the maximum upside, 13,000 Wisconsin-based employees?
I am. I'm very confident about it.
But our unemployment rate is low, 4%.
Understand. Yeah, it's not without challenge.
And you see all these now hiring signs. Excuse me for interrupting. We can fill those Foxconn jobs?
Well, I don't think we can fill them from the people in the state of Wisconsin currently. And so when from day one, when we've looked at this, it really has been not just about what we can do for the state, from a workforce and a supply chain standpoint, but also what are the tools that our academic partners have to be able to create and make sure that they have the programs internally and that they're educating the students with the talents that are needed, not just for Foxconn, but for other employers in the state, which I think our academic partners have done a great job over a long period of time. But the fact of the matter is, this isn't just about what we can do in Wisconsin. We want every employee to be a resident of the state of Wisconsin, but the fact of the matter is this will be a national and international play for workforce development and talent to come to Wisconsin and hopefully live and work in the state.
You've heard the debate. In fact, there was one estimate from Mr. Neitzel. What percentage of non-Wisconsin residents do you think will be working at Foxconn? the numbers have gone from 5-10% to much higher than that. Your own estimate, sir?
I don't have an estimate other than to say that when we looked at it through M7, our regional economic development partner in the southeast part of the state, they had done some surveying of some of the major employers in southeast Wisconsin, and that number is anywhere from 5-10% employees that come from primarily from northern Illinois. But here's the thing, Steve, that people lose sight of. And in 2015, every year they do a study, but the last one available was 2015, there are 57,000 people, residents of the state of Wisconsin, that every day cross the state line to go to work in Illinois.
Go south.
Yep, and there are half of that number, 27,000, that go from Illinois to Wisconsin. And what I look at and say is, this is an opportunity for us to give jobs to those 58,000 people that make a decision to go from Wisconsin to Illinois every day to work in the state that they live in.
Some Wisconsin resident watching this show may ask, what skills do I need to potentially work at Foxconn? Now, I know they're going to need a whole bunch of different skill sets, but how would you answer that to someone watching the show?
It's difficult for me, but in general, a lot of what they're looking for will be, they do a lot of training on their own, but they're engineering-related jobs is the primary focus of what they're doing. And so they'll work closely with MATC in Milwaukee, the Waukesha County Technical College, with Gateway, and making sure that from a two-year standpoint, those two-year colleges are providing the types of employees that they need. But they'll also work with the universities. They've reached out to MSOE, to Marquette University, and certainly the UW system.
You undoubtedly watched when the Assembly debated that the Foxconn incentives for the second time. Jason Fields was the only Milwaukee Democrat to stand up and vote for it. He said, I've talked to people, I've looked them in the eyes, and they have assured me that there's going to be jobs for Milwaukee's inner city residents. How does that happen?
It happens with a lot of coordination and a lot of work. And from day one, I have said, both publicly and privately, that when I first realized this opportunity was a real opportunity, and that's kind of the middle of May, I looked at this as an opportunity for the under and unemployed people in southeastern Wisconsin, Racine County, Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, to find an opportunity for gainful employment, for careers. And we are absolutely committed to making that happen.
What about the distance? How do they get from inner city Milwaukee? And you've seen the dropout numbers for MPS. They may not have a high school diploma. How do they get an entry-level job at Foxconn, sir?
We're working with the jobs boards in the various in southeastern Wisconsin to make sure that we're able to pool the efforts of everybody collectively to figure out a way to give them the skill sets, to give them the transportation needs and those types of things that are absolutely vital. You know, at the end of the day, Steve, there are people that will have that are currently employed that may be able to be trained and to take on additional responsibilities at a Foxconn. And then it's taking the under and unemployed people and moving them up the ladder and giving them the same types of opportunities.
The Foxconn CEO you've met several times. Many people now, if he's going to be the potential boss of up to 13,000 workers in Wisconsin, want to know what he's like. What is Mr. Gow like?
He's an entrepreneur every step of the way. Every step of the way. He is a very interesting guy. He has a huge heart and has great compassion and great passion for what he does. And I think the key to it in the deal itself was his willing to put his personal guarantee on the line for this. It shows a commitment and a passion and a confidence level that they will be successful here in the state, as will the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for bringing that up, because the contract says he personally would be liable in a default for 25%, and Han Hai, do I have the name right?
Correct.
Would be liable for 75%.
Correct.
Did that cinch the deal?
His personal guarantee?
Yeah.
No, what cinched the deal was Han Hai's guarantee, and that's one of the things that I said earlier, that at the outset you really have to set your kind of the parameters of what's important to you, what you say you're going to do, and make sure that you accomplish that. And Han Hai was always a Han Hai, having a Han Hai guarantee that was meaningful was always critical to it. And as we went through the conversation with the company, and not to get into the negotiations, but we broached the idea of a personal guarantee for Terry Goh, and it was offered. And that was just a matter of making sure that we had the right mix. So it was really Terry himself and the company that said, what about Terry's personal guarantee?
as a career banker, you've participated in a lot of negotiations. Was this one of the toughest ones?
Easily. Yes.
And what were some, can you just generically describe some of the major sticking points?
Well, there's so many iterations to it. And you know, early on, we were criticized for, right up until the end, for not providing the contract, making it available to people. And yet we spent, Secretary Neitzel and I spent hours upon hours discussing what we said was going to be in the contract. And yet people wanted to see the paper contract. But to get to that point, to get to that final version, there's so many iterations because it's a complex deal. It's an international company. You have entities that are being formed in the state that are going to be owned either by Terry personally or through an entity that he owns or through Hon Hai. And so it's very complex. And it was all about trying to keep it as simple as possible. And I think that's what we were able to do in the end.
Did Wisconsin's incentives package, how much bigger was it than the packages offered by other states? We were far and away the biggest?
No.
We were not?
No, we haven't done any reporting. We haven't done any talking about that whatsoever. There have been some reports on what other states have done. But at the end of the day, Governor Walker, his administration, Secretary Neitzel and I, when we looked at this, we said, what's the right number for Wisconsin? And the right number for Wisconsin was not about what somebody else was willing to do or not do. So we were not comparing ourselves to them. What we were doing was we were looking at it and saying, what was the best deal for the taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, were you ever worried about the size of it? $3 billion, which is 2.85 in direct to the company and then $150 million in sales tax exemptions. Did the size of it ever intimidate you? Let me put it this way. Did you feel you were mortgaging the future of your grandchildren or putting it at risk?
I think we were investing in the future of our grandchildren. That's the way I look at it. To be able to move an industry that it doesn't exist in the United States, doesn't exist certainly not in Wisconsin, into Wisconsin, bringing these jobs here, I think we've turned the corner relative to being able to attract talent, keep talent in the state of Wisconsin. And so from that perspective, I look at it as an investment. Certainly it's a mind-boggling number. Even if you take it over 15 years, it's a mind-boggling number. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's not. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to basics.
Did you ever think that the negotiations would fail and that either the state or Foxconn would walk away?
I always felt that there was a commitment from Governor Walker and from Terry Goh to make this happen. And I think when you have that leadership and you know that that's behind you and we have the support of Governor Walker in the negotiations, I think that made a big deal. Certainly, as I said before, there are a lot of iterations that this contract goes through over the period of, say, 3 months, where there are highs and lows to it, where you think you're at a certain point and then you have to fall back because there's another area of the contract that needs to be negotiated. But I feel really good about the contract that we ended up with and making sure that we hit all of the important points that we told people we were going to incorporate in the contract.
The jobs credit in the package is 17%. You told us at the press conference other incentives offered by your agency is 10%. Why the additional 7 percentage points?
Well, it's 10% more because under a normal enterprise zone, it's 7%.
7%. So I got the numbers
wrong. So it's an additional 10% on top of that.
Thanks for the correction.
At the end of the day, that was one of the things that the company, there were three things that the company talked about. Certainly the cost of their doing business, that was important. The workforce was important. And then making sure that there were not unnecessary delays. Those three things were the critical piece of it. So the incentive part of it was important. So as we moved forward and we tried to figure out how can we use the programs that we have and use the legislation to change those programs to create greater incentives, that's how we got to that number.
And the 15% credit for capital investments. So since I got the number wrong before. 10%.
In the normal enterprise zone.
So this is 5 percentage points more.
Right.
Again, the logic is the scope of the potential investment.
Yep. They had said to us early on that they felt that the cost differential between doing business here in the state of Wisconsin, in the United States, and what they do in China or in Asia is about 30%. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a $10 billion investment. We've got a $3 billion package, which includes $150 million of sales tax exemptions. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gets to that number.
You've seen some of the international stories on Foxconn as an employer. Some of those have not been very positive. Are you confident that Foxconn will be a good employer for X number of thousands of Wisconsin residents?
We are. At the end of the day, we need to have, we have our own work rules, and I feel confident that in order for them to attract those types, that type of talent, that kind of workforce, they're going to have to follow the work rules. And every indication that I have from the conversations I've had, what I have seen, how they have treated people, what they have done over the course of the last 6 months now, I don't have any concerns about it whatsoever.
The average annual wage in the contract, $53,875. How is that set?
How is that? That was based on their projections.
Based on their projections.
Right.
Okay. And then there's an exemption for up to 100. The state credit will be 17% up to 100,000.
Correct.
Okay. And then above that, the credit will not apply.
They'll get zero. They'll get 17% up to 100,000. But if somebody makes 101,000, they don't get 17% on that extra 1,000. But they do get it on the first 100,000.
The additional $700 million in aid from their local community, Mount Pleasant and Racine County. Would the deal have happened without that local aid, sir?
No, that was critical to it. But at the end of the day, again, we had to make sure that we had our contract in place before Mount Pleasant and Racine County could finalize their contract. And they're in the process of doing that right now.
If Foxconn had not come to Wisconsin, what state would they be developing in right now?
I only care that they're in the state of Wisconsin.
That's a good answer. Well, since then, there have been reports that Foxconn is hired in Wisconsin, and one executive has, or one or more, has bought a Wisconsin home. Do you know that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. They're here.
They are here.
They're hiring. They have postings out there. They're looking to hire people. They will have an assembly operation. So it's the manufacturing fab is what they call it. That's the LCD display plant that they'll be building.
Yeah.
But they also have an assembly operation that they'll need to have here. That's something that they can start up sooner. And so some of the jobs that will be created, for example, in 2018, will be directly related to that assembly operation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, the development plans. So the first major capital investment will be the assembly plant. Do I have that?
Yes.
The assembly plant. And that calls for breaking ground next year, construction 2-3 years?
No, they're going to rent a facility in Racine County, I believe, and they'll start that operation because, they'll move equipment here that is currently offshore. They'll move equipment here, hire Wisconsin residents to work in that operation, and beginning the training of those employees. And in large part, that group of employees will likely be the first group of employees that will be trained and that will work in the manufacturing facility, which will take 4 to 5 years to build.
Are you afraid, let's go back to something you said earlier, are you afraid that Foxconn will be hiring engineering employees who now work for successful Wisconsin companies? Go back to the now hiring signs that we see everywhere. There's no way to prevent that, is there?
There is not. And clearly that's a concern that all of us have, one that we're addressing. Not just with Foxconn, but also with the other employers in the state. And it's really incumbent upon us to make sure that we're providing the same types of opportunities for those employers that we're providing Foxconn. And we believe we do that each and every day. I mean, the technical colleges, for example, have great relationships with their local employers. And in any segment, in any of those colleges throughout the state, you will see where they're already meeting the needs of the employers in the area. So it's really kind of doubling down on that impact and using some of the dollars through the legislation for those colleges or universities to be able to support the needs of the employers in their area.
Let's talk about the hiring numbers. The summary of the contract that you gave reporters like me at the press conference, to qualify for job credits, they must have 520 employees, full-time employees, by 2019. Now, is that at the end of 2019?
Correct.
It is. And then they would qualify for up to $193 million.
Correct.
These are real tight numbers. This must have been the subject of very intense talks.
Well, it was because, again, what we made clear was that the reason the state of Wisconsin was going to be involved in this and wanted to incent Foxconn was because of the jobs that it was going to bring. The $10 billion is significant because of the number of construction jobs and those types of things that will go with that. But then you have the facility and how many people are going to be employed on an ongoing basis over the course of the next 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And that's what's critical. So you walk the fine line in the negotiations between the company trying to identify where and how they can hire the workforce.
Yes.
And making sure that when we look at the low end of that range, that it's still giving the state the kind of return that the taxpayers deserve.
That's a good point. Let's talk about the minimum number of jobs that they would create. We know the maximum investment of $9 to $10 billion and employing 13,000. What are some of the minimums under the contract?
I think when you get into years 5 and 6, into year 7, they have to be a minimum of 6,500 jobs. Otherwise, they don't qualify. Otherwise, the number's actually below 6,500. There's clawback provisions. But the numbers generally get to about 80% of that 13,000. And the way we looked at it was 5,000 in 5 years, 10,000 in 10 years. And those are the numbers that they have to be able to achieve in order to qualify for the tax incentive.
Did anybody from Foxconn object to the clawback provision, Mr. Hogan?
We had that conversation. It was an ongoing conversation.
A business in Western Wisconsin, I was always intrigued because there was universal support in the legislature from legislators from Northern Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin. How are companies in their districts going to be helped by Foxconn in Racine County?
It's about the supply chain, and it's really incumbent upon us. Part of the legislation was for WEDC to add a person whose primary responsibility will be to talk about supply chain throughout the state, and again, not just for Foxconn, but for all employers throughout the state. But our goal will be to have that person in our team reaching out to the northern half of the state to make sure that they are getting the same opportunities with the company like Foxconn as the companies in southeastern Wisconsin.
You've heard the criticisms from some Democratic legislators. And part of it is, look what Foxconn promised Pennsylvania and didn't deliver. Do you have an understanding of any promise made by Foxconn to Pennsylvania when they had a GOP governor? Did you ask about that?
We looked into it very early on, and we walked away from that conversation feeling comfortable. And really, it's incumbent upon us to be able to fulfill our part of the deal and for the company to fulfill their part of the deal. And one of the keys to our incentives is that if they don't create employment, if they don't build the building, they don't get the tax credit. So we feel we're protected from that standpoint.
Has this incentive package been unfairly criticized by Democrats, two of whom on your board voted against the contract?
You'd have to speak to them about it. They voted against it, and I don't know that they. Senator Carpenter voted against it. What I heard him say was it was about the environmental, and Representative Walks voted against it because he thought it was too large of a deal. And neither of them said they thought that the contract was wrong. So that I take some confidence in knowing that I think we got it right.
Is the political climate in Wisconsin the greatest threat to Foxconn's potential investment and hope for investment in Wisconsin?
I stay out of the politics side of it, Steve. I mean, I'm looking at the economic development side. And go back to what we talked about before, the opportunities for the under and unemployed people in the city of Milwaukee, the mm-hmm. city of Racine, those counties. I would hope that now that the legislation has passed, the contract is signed, I would hope that we have everybody in the boat rowing in the same direction.
You do stay out of the politics, but let me ask about the contract. 1 year from now, Wisconsin may have elected a Democratic governor. What options would she or he have to renegotiate this contract, or is that foreclosed by the language in the contract?
I think it's an interesting concept because even though Governor Walker signed the contract, it's WEDC that is entering into the contract
yes.
with Foxconn.
Right.
It's not the state of Wisconsin. Even though we administer the programs, we've signed the agreement. It would be interesting to see how somebody would come in and try and change the terms of that contract that was signed by WEDC, which is a separate corporation and has its own board of directors.
Could a WEDC appointed by a potential Democratic governor cancel that contract?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I would have a hard time seeing how that could happen, given the structure of WEDC.
Is there, so there's no cancellation clause in the contract? I haven't found any as I've scanned it.
No.
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. No, there's no out on either side. It's all performance-based. Foxconn has to do this. The state has to do that. And Foxconn should rely on the fact that we said we will provide the incentives, and we will rely on the fact that Foxconn will provide jobs and capital expenditures in the state.
You don't do politics, but has the Foxconn incentive package become too politicized?
It's a lot of money. And I respect people that have different opinions. I just don't agree with them. And again, I'll come back to it and look at it and say the things that we talked about, Secretary Neitzel and myself, as we went through the legislative process, those are the things that were incorporated into the contract.
Do you think the Foxconn CEO, as far as he's come, now is a billionaire? Is it the fourth largest company in the world or something like
technology that? Technology company. 27th largest in the world, but the fourth largest, right behind Amazon.
You've been in meetings with him. You've developed a relationship. Does he have a concern about the November 2018 election?
I think one of the key things was the relationship he has with Governor Walker. And clearly, early on, the fact that we were not terming out a governor mm-hmm. did have an impact.
So he's got a good relationship with Governor Walker. He'd have to have a good relationship with a Democratic governor if he or she was elected in November of 18 for the Foxconn to invest as much as they hope to invest?
I would think any employer in the state would want to have a good relationship with whoever the governor is, and it will likely, I believe it will be Governor Walker going forward, but clearly it's an important part. He or she, the governor of the state, is the leader of the state, and they set the pace as to what we do and how we do it.
One more question on politics, which I know you don't do, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If a Democrat is elected governor, what advice would you give she or he in terms of the Foxconn contract?
I would say stick with it. It's an investment in our children and our grandchildren's future. It's an investment in the state's future.
What does Wisconsin economy look like in 2032, assuming Foxconn invests $9 or $10 billion and hires up 11, 12, 13,000 people. How is it a game changer for the state of Wisconsin?
It's a game changer because we have reversed the trend of people leaving the state, giving our children, our grandchildren, an opportunity to work and stay in the state of Wisconsin. I think the fact that we will be attracting people and retaining people in the state will be critical, not just for Foxconn, and not just for its supply chain, but for other employers in the state of Wisconsin. And I think that's the big difference that when I look at it, that's a philosophical belief that I have that truly will make a difference 15 years from now.
And maybe a final question. When critics of this contract say, we will not be making probably LEDs in 2032, so what's to prevent this plant or plants from what happened just south of the border in Illinois, what's your answer?
I think when you look at Foxconn over the course of the last 43 years right. and Terry Goh's leadership over that period of time and the teams that he has built under him, the key is that Foxconn has had the ability to change and be a market leader, to be the innovative, creative side of the next product that's there. That's why they want to be here in Wisconsin, what the LCDs. So if technology changes all the time, Steve, we all know that. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be with a technology leader in the world, Foxconn's and Terry Goh, they're the people that we want to be with.
They are the innovative leaders in this field in the world.
We believe that.
At the end of that press conference, just maybe this is the last question, I promise. Matt DeFore, the State Journal, said, what happens in 2033? Give me your answer again after this 15-year period's over.
The contract is done. The contract is for 15 years. If the state has provided the full $2.85 billion incentives, that means that they have hired and kept over 13,000 employees. They have invested the $10 billion, that the project is successful. And the question was, well, could the company leave in that 16th year? And my response is, why would they leave? Because they've already shown that they can be successful. So they're not just, any company is not just going to stay here because of the incentives. they're going to stay here and reinvest in Wisconsin because they believe in what we have to offer.
On that note, Mark Hogan, CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, thanks for giving us the inside story.
Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it. Thank you.